Kelly Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
This is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
Party going on. And they are in charge of the party. And what God is doing in this season, I love my God. Because God is sending people who He's sending uninvited guests who are wrecking the party. They are messing up people's agendas. They're messing up people's opinion. They're messing up what people thought about God, because we've been fooling folks for a long time, acting like we got God as a monopoly, acting like we're the only ones who know God for ourselves. But God is bringing people from the nooks, from the crannies, from the ditches as uninvited guests. And their ugliness is showing our ugliness. Their misery is showing our misery. That really, y'all, we are being plagued by uninvited guests who are showing us up. The body of Christ all across the world is being shown up by uninvited guests. I didn't ask for you to come up in here. I didn't validate you coming up in here. I didn't say you could come in here. I didn't want you to come up in here, because you don't look like we look. You don't sound like we sound. You don't say what we say, and we're not inviting you to this party. But can I upset somebody's theology real quick on a Sunday morning? You have nothing to say about God's business. You and I have nothing to say about who God saves, how God saves them, who He brings in, who He restores, who He saves, who He heals. Guess what? Just because you got a problem with them don't mean God got a problem with them. Just because you don't see them as anything don't mean God doesn't see them as anything. God is getting ready to lift up people you've been beating down. God is getting ready to bring in folks you've been putting out. God is getting ready to heal some folks you've been plaguing. God is getting ready to put some people at the front that you've been putting in the back. And I'm thanking God this morning for uninvited guests. Because the uninvited guests are going to show us Jesus in a way we've never seen Him before. And the church, for so many years, so many decades and centuries, think that it has the monopoly on how God is going to work. And watch what you're going to see today. I'm getting happy all by myself. That you don't even have to have yourself together to receive Jesus Christ. You can be in the midst of your pain and still have Jesus Christ. For years, people told me, I gotta have on church clothes. I gotta say the right thing. I gotta do the right stuff. I gotta look good on the outside. But I wanna recommend to you today, brothers and sisters, a Jesus Christ who wants you while you're drunk, who wants you while you're high, who wants you while you're in your misery, because then people will see the power of God, how He will pick you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground. I want to recommend to you today that you stop letting the Simons of your life, stop letting people talk you out of what God has come to you for. Let me tell you somebody something today, somebody who is doubting their walk with God, who thinks you're not good enough, who thinks that you can't say enough, you don't know all the books of the Bible, you don't know all the Psalms, you don't know all the singing, you don't know parliamentary procedure, and it's been Simons in your life who are telling you that you don't know enough, that you can't do enough, that nobody wants you, that you're too silly, you're too stupid, your past is too ugly. Let me kill that assignment today and say God came and sent His Son to die for you. If you were the only one in this world, He still would have sent His Son to die for you. And enough of this trying to put our policies, our programs, our principles on what God has ordained. And God is allowing uninvited guests to show up. In Luke chapter 7, Simon, this Pharisee, these Pharisees who are already the separated ones. Pharisee means separated. They are intentionally separated from everybody else. They think they are big time because they know the law of God. They know the book. They know the legalities. They know the principalities. They know the locality. They have a monopoly, they believe, on God, that God will not do it unless they authorize it. Because they know so much law, because they know so much policy, there's no way God's going to do anything new unless they are present, unless they authenticated. There are some people even today in 2021 who think that they got to be present for God to heal you. They think that they ain't got to show up for it to be legit. And now God has allowed a pandemic to come and folk getting saved and you ain't been to church. Folk getting healed and you ain't lay hands on them. Folks getting delivered and you ain't have nothing to do with it. But there are some Pharisee spirits who believe that God can't move unless they're present. And they base everything on law, legality. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's not what we do here. That's not what we say here. That's not how we dress. That's not how you ought to look. Look at your pants. Pull them up. Get in trouble, boy. Look at your skirt. Pull it down. How you gonna have a tattoo and call yourself godly? How you gonna have an earring, boy, and call yourself godly? How you gonna have dreadlocks and call yourself godly? That doesn't look legal. It's not legal. And Pharisees base everything on how things look externally. They best base everything on ritual. They wear the doilies on their head and don't know why. They must wear white on first Sunday and don't know why. The deacon must have on a black suit first Sunday and he does not know why. But if you mess around and wear a tan suit on the day that you're supposed to wear a black suit, you're out of law and you cannot serve because you don't look pure. You're violating our laws by looking different. Do y'all remember years ago, poor President Obama messed around and wore a tan suit? And Congress and the world went crazy because the president did what was in his right and his wallet to do, wear a tan suit. And folk went crazy. He was not any less of a president with a tan suit on than he was with a blue or a black suit on. But because it was different than the norm, he got ostracized and attacked. And while y'all looking down y'all nose at Congress, church folk, we just as bad. That when somebody comes through those doors who doesn't look a certain way, who don't look churchy, you get your nose up in the air, you get to texting each other on the phone, do you see what she got on? Who is that? Who is that young man looking all rough? Who is that looking like they ain't got no people? We know her story. Man, Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus to his home for dinner. And it's peculiar why Simon would do this, because throughout chapter 7, Jesus is ministering outside the synagogue. He is doing some stuff. He's having some issues sharing between he and John the Baptist and their different perspective walks. And Jesus says, listen, y'all don't want John. You don't want me because, you know, it's not, y'all not even hung up on me or John because I sing sad songs. You don't cry. I play happy songs and you won't dance. So really the problem ain't the prophet. The problem is the people. And so these Pharisees are not moved by anything, but they want to move everything. If I had time, I would preach that, but I don't have time to preach that. They are not moved by anything, but they want to move everything. And so he heals this centurion's servant. He heals this widow, named son on a funeral. All these things he's doing to expand his ministry and show forth the love of God and all this stuff he's done, and it wasn't in the synagogue. He did all these things. He wasn't around church folk. And church folk are starting to hear that we're not as popular now because all these miracles are being done and we had nothing to do with it. These miracles weren't happening in the church. They weren't happening with our motion, wasn't happening with our second, and we are upset. Now what are we supposed to do if we can't be around all this stuff? Because we've been saying we're Holy Ghost headquarters. We've been saying if you want to see a miracle, come to our church. And now all these miracles are happening right down the street, but never in the house, and now they're mad at Jesus. And Jesus has an issue. These Pharisees are really mad at Jesus, and they're upset with, and they're trying to reject Jesus and trying to minimize Jesus and take away his power and his impact. So it's interesting why Simon would even invite Jesus to his house. Knowing the history and knowing the present, why are you calling Jesus, who we know you don't like, who we know you don't want to fool with? Why do you have him in your house? See how quiet you got on Facebook? See how quiet you got in the church? Because if you're really mad at him, why would you invite him into your home? You don't want nothing to do with his word. Don't want nothing to do with his power. You don't like the people he's been healing. Don't like the people he's been saving. Why would you invite him into your house? Why are we looking at them bad? Look at us. We say we love the Lord, but we keep on showing up to a Jesus we don't believe in, to a Jesus we don't pray to a Jesus we don't have faith in, but we keep showing up calling ourselves Christian. And Christian means a follower of Jesus, but why would you call yourself a follower of Jesus, get in trouble, and don't do nothing he say do, don't love the people he say love, don't follow any of his principles, don't follow any of his precepts? You keep trying to tell him what the law say, and Jesus say love. But your law say do this. I say forgive. But your law say don't turn the other cheek. But I say love him anyway. But you don't want to do what Jesus say do, but still want to call yourself a Christian. Yet, it seems to me like insanity. Because if you don't love him, why would you bring him in your house? Here, and so we don't know. Many theologians over the years have been trying to figure out why would you invite a Jesus into your house you don't want him to fool with. Some think he was just because Jesus was so popular, they wanted to have him there, just to have guests at his house. Some believe he was trying to set Jesus up. It was some little dirty plan he had to set Jesus up. We don't know really the reason why Simon invited him to his home, which kind of holds the reason in 2021. Why do some of us carry a Bible and don't read it? Why some of us come to worship and don't change? So let's not look too crazy at Simon, because some of us are just in better shape because we keep saying we want the Lord, but don't do nothing with him. Today the question we got to ask ourselves, why do you bring him in your home? Is it because it's popular? Get in trouble. Is it because Jesus is the popular thing to do? To hang with Jesus? It makes you more notorious by hanging with Jesus. You get a whole lot more Facebook likes since you've been with Jesus, since you're doing it by yourself. What are your motives for having Jesus in the house? And so Jesus welcomes, he's welcomed into Simon's house, even though knowing he's not welcome. Here's the problem Simon's going to have. That anytime you invite Jesus into your home, it's no longer your home. Missed it. Anytime you bring Jesus into your house, something go change, even if you don't. Get in trouble, man. And Jesus is getting ready, even though your name might be on a note, it ain't your house. Even though you pay all the bills, when Jesus comes in, it's no longer yours. And what I love about a house that God comes in is that even though I pay the bill, when I let it be his house, he keeps giving me power to take care of my bill. Y'all missed it. But if you brought him in for the wrong reason, you'll stay mad at him. Because all you'll see is the change and not see the covering. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Watch this. They bring him, Jesus in, and Jesus is laying down. He's reclining because in the East, when you recline at dinner, you're laying across. His head is toward the table, and he's laying this way with his feet behind him. And the door is open because the law was, the custom was, that people, anytime there was a big-time guest, people could come stand outside the house and watch what's going on inside. Now, common sense should have told anybody, don't come in. That's common sense. But everybody could see that Jesus is in Simon's house. And Simon knows how popular it's going to make him to have Jesus in his house, so he leaves the doors and the windows open so people could see, I got him in my house. He is an invited guest, but yet he's not invited to do, I didn't invite him to do what I want him to do. I invited him to be what I want him to be. I invited him in thinking he's going to conform to what I want him to conform to. I wasn't prepared for him to bring in other folk. Have you ever been to a hosted a party? Y'all ain't going to say yeah, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. You ever hosted a party, your party, your birthday party, your celebration, and you were no longer the focus? You you hosted the party. It's your party. You paid for it. You got the DJ. You got the snacks. And somebody danced better than you. And everybody start hanging with somebody else and not hanging with you. You got your hair laid. You ain't got a fresh cut. You ain't got all your nice clothes. You are ready. You dripping, as the kids say. You got drip or whatever that is. You're dripping. And you looking good. And nobody looks at you. Because somebody you didn't invite now becomes the center of attention. And you frustrated. And when you're in your feelings, and it's your party. Simon is about to be in the same situation. Because this uninvited guest sees and hears that Jesus is passing by. He's in this house. And she says, you know what? I'm going to take my chances. And that gets, what does this uninvited guest do? This uninvited guest does three things. And I'm gonna lift those three things and see what you can catch, and we're going to go home together. Three things I think she does that we can learn from this uninvited guest, that even when Simon tried to put you out, Jesus brings you in, you can still receive what you need from the Lord. Number one, she expects to see the Savior. That's it right there. She expects to see the Savior. Watch this now. This woman comes to see Jesus. That don't make you happy. It should make you happy. But she comes to see Jesus. Watch this. Now, just Simon thinks that she's going to come to see him. But what Simon, I need to tell you something today, that people don't live for you. Get over yourself, Simon, that even if you don't come, we still come to see Jesus. Now, I want to talk to people today who need help in getting past people problems to get to Jesus. Because if you let people block you, people will try to block you by their principles, by their laws, by intimidation, by their dirty looks, by lying, by gossiping, all kind of things people will do to block you from getting. Now watch this. They're not blocking Jesus from you, but they're trying to block you from Jesus. They will make you think that you've done so much wrong that Jesus don't want you. That is not true. Because this woman, the Bible says here, Luke says, this woman who was a sinner, still, as a sinner, goes to see Jesus. Y'all missing me. She expects to see Jesus even though she's a sinner. I'm going to try that one more time. This woman is a sinner, and everybody know her dirt. And she still says, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to go and see Jesus. Okay. I want to talk to somebody today who you made some mistakes. You're struggling with your mistakes. That is not enough, that you ain't done so much wrong that the Lord don't want you to come see him. You can't drink enough liquor that he still won't love you. You can't smoke enough dope that he still won't love you. You can't sleep around that much that the Lord won't love you. Just because people want to talk about your sin does not mean that Jesus won't deliver you from your sin. All right. Because the truth of it is, I'm going to tell you something other church folk ain't going to tell you. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve to see Jesus. None of us deserve his glory. None of us deserve the power, yet he does it for us anyway. You know what, y'all, if I was Simon, I would have been shouting. Because Jesus know my heart and still came to my house. I wish I had some Simons who would learn to turn this thing around and say, there are times people don't know my dirt. And he still come to my house. Just because people don't know my dirt and know yours does not make me any different kind of sinner than you. He still came to my house, and I can still come to him. Yeah. Look how Luke does this. Look how I got to rush through this. Look how Luke does this. Look how Luke does it. Luke says this woman who was a sinner, we don't even know her name, but we know her problem. I got to deal with that. Because we don't know her name, but we know her condition. Aren't you tired of people never knowing you and identifying you by who you are, but they only identify you about what's wrong with you? Nobody knows her name, but they all know her problem. There go the old hoochie. There go the old drunk. There go the old dopehead. They go to old liar, but nobody knows her name. But she's known by her condition. She's a sinner. We don't even know what the sin is. And here's the problem that they made in this day and the problem we make now. We don't even know the sin, so we assume. Theologians assume that she was a prostitute, that she's a harlot, just because she's a woman. And don't that sound a whole lot like us? That we don't even know what the issue is, we just assume and don't even know them for who they are. But you know what the issue is? Can I unpack it? We look at people through the lens of who we are. Because we some undercover liars. So we see liars. We undercover whoremongers. So all we see is whoremongers. We undercover cheaters. So all we do is see is cheaters. We undercover backbiters. So all we see is backbiting. She's a sinner. And here's the problem, y'all. Luke doesn't say Simon is a sinner. He just says Simon is a Pharisee. But based on Simon's reaction, we finna find out he's just as much sinner. Oh, God. So you got a sinner in the church and a sinner out the church. What's the difference in the sinner? This woman says, they know my business anyway, but I'm desperate for something different. And I'm getting to a point in my life, y'all can talk about me. You can say what you want to say. You can assume what you want to assume. I didn't come to see you no way. I came to see Jesus. I wish I had three people, I'd be number four, who's getting to that point in your life where you're stopping worrying about what people got to say about you and letting people talk you out of what you need from God. You're going to take the chance and go see Jesus. I'm waking up this morning with a spirit of expectation. I came to see Jesus, and I'm not leaving until I made contact with him. I ain't come to see Simon. I ain't come to deal with your program. Don't you ever got to let me sing. You ain't got to ever let me preach. You ain't ever bring me to the front row. I came to see Jesus. What is your expectation this morning? What are you expecting? Watch this, because watch what happens. Because when you expect to see Jesus, you weren't expecting Jesus to see you. See, that's what's good about it. That when you see Jesus, you mess around and let Jesus see you, something go shift. Watch this. Now, I got to upset you. You shouting, folk, real quick. Because she shows up, she expects to see the Savior, but she don't show up empty-handed. She does not show up empty-handed. She brings with her an alabaster box filled with ointment. It's believed based on her situation that she's not a rich woman, but she does have something valuable. Y'all missed it. She's a rich woman. She's not a rich woman, but she does have something valuable. And what she does have that's valuable, she's coming with expectation to give it to Jesus. Man, y'all done totally missed that one there. Because in the 21st century, church, we're coming with nothing, expecting to get something valuable from Jesus. But who has really thought about, I need to bring him what I have and put it in his hands, on his feet, in his presence, and maybe or not I'll leave without something, but at least I done gave it to Jesus. I'm not wasting, watch this, I'm not wasting something valuable on the sin. I told you she was a sinner. And the Bible says that this sinner woman brings with her an alabaster box. She ain't so much of a sinner that she wasted everything on her sin. Missed it. Because the Bible does not record any alabaster box Simon has. Do you have a box in your house, Simon? Because as of date, we don't hear you, anything, any record of you breaking anything. But this woman comes with something that's different than you have, that's more valuable than what you have. And she at least don't waste it on her sin. She may be a sinner, but she ain't wasted everything on her sin. Y'all missed that. I still got something that can be useful to the glory of God, and I can still bring it. I'm going to take what I got left, and I'm going to bring it to the Lord. She expects to see Jesus. And then the next thing she does is that she expresses a sacrificial sentiment. She expresses a sacrificial sentiment. She has an affinity for divinity. She loves herself some Jesus. So much so that she is going to break open the box. And if you know anything about the day of Jesus and alabaster and ointment, it is a precious ointment and oil. Now, it's not perfume. It's ointment. To get it to be perfume, you have to add water. This, in other words, is not a watered-down sacrifice. Missed it. Y'all missed it. This ain't no watered-down sacrifice. This is the sacrifice in its purest form, in a box that had not been broken yet. My question to us this morning, have we brought him something pure, or have we brought him something watered down? Are you clapping your hands because you know you're supposed to? That's watered down. When a worship leader got to tell you, say praise the Lord. When somebody got to play music for you to get happy, that's a watered down sacrifice. When somebody got to tell you to give unto the Lord because it's offering time and you ain't been offering all week, that's a watered down religion. When the only way you can get happy is when they sing your favorite song or you got your favorite singer, that's a watered down religion. But when you got something pure, you don't need the right people. You don't need the right stuff. All you need is the right Savior, and I'm going to give him a pure sacrifice. I ain't giving him nothing watered down. I'm giving him the very best I have. I'm not going to give God what I done gave my boss 40 hours solid with everything in me and then come give God nothing on a Sunday morning. That's watered down. Yeah, that's watered down. You don't drag at work, but you drag it to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, you have to do it to Jesus, but to your boss and to Bay, you cooked the very best to Bay, and you took care of Bay, but you ain't took care of Jesus. That's watered down. Mm-hmm. And this woman says, I might be a sinner, but I know how to sacrifice. And sinners know how to sacrifice better than saints do, because it costs them more than it costs some of us. Mm-hmm. Because in sin, people are trying not to lose it. In the church, you trying not to use it. That'll preach all by itself right there. In the world, folk are living, holding on to what they got left because they're trying not to lose it. Because life is whooping them, and drugs is trying to come, and alcohol is trying to come, the devil working on them, and issues coming in their life, and job loss, and health, and crises. They're trying not to lose the sacrifice. But in the church, Simon got a nice house, and he got cabinets with all in it, but he's trying his best not to have to use it. See if we can save something. Get in trouble. Get in trouble. See if we ought not use all of this up. Now, I mean, so you got it. You know how y'all do. When you got some company come over, you use paper plates. Yeah. But when somebody you think is important, you gonna use your best china. I'm in trouble now. Mm-hmm. You give Jesus Sam's choice, but who you want? Coca-Cola. Watered down. And the church is trying not to use it, and sinners are trying not to lose it. We got to beg us to do something because we don't want to use our gift. We don't want to utilize what God has blessed us with. And you got saints who try not to lose it. Here's the problem. The woman comes into the house and breaks a sacrifice and gives a sacrifice that could have been given but was not given already. She breaks it, and she comes into the presence of the Lord. And I told you how he was reclining with his head to the table and his feet behind him reclining, because they would lie at the table in Jesus' day. They weren't sitting in seats. They would lie and recline like on a couch. And she comes upon his feet, and she's so awestruck by being in his presence. knowing that she's a sinner and she got that close to him. Lord have mercy. She done got so close to what she needs and nothing stopped her. Knowing her past could not stop her from getting to her present, and her present is getting ready to change, and her past did not stop her. She left her past and went to something new, and the simple fact that she escapes her past causes her to weep. And she cries at the feet of Jesus and then takes her glory, because hair symbolizes glory, and she took her glory and didn't have glory anymore and uses her glory and wipes Jesus' feet. And she cleans his feet with her tears. And she takes that oil and she rubs his feet, because she realized her place as a sinner, I don't deserve his head. But I'm going to go to where I can get. And I'm going to anoint that. I'm going to bless that with everything. I'm going to get what's near to me right now. If he asks me to go higher, I'll go higher. But I'm not going to come like I deserve his head. I'm going to come and sit at his feet. Because this is what's right here before me. As far as I've gotten now, it's further than I deserve to be. Therefore, I'm going to use what I have now, not when I get to his head, but right now at his feet. I don't need to be advanced. I don't need to be promoted before I can bless him. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be wealthy before I can bless him. Because I'm in his presence, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to bless him right now while I got a chance. I might not get an opportunity to get to the head, but right now I see his feet. I'm going to bless his feet. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's some tension in the text. I got to get through this. The tension in the text is this. Some tension. Because Simon don't get mad until a sacrifice is given. People don't get upset with you until you give the Lord something you're supposed to have been giving them. And when you give a sacrifice, folks who don't sacrifice get mad, because it exposes their lack of sacrifice. I'm in the text. I'm in the text. I'm not making this up. She sacrifices. First of all, she cries. And she wipes his feet with her tears. Then she takes the oil that's pure and anoints or smears his feet to anoint him and to bless him, because he's a designated guest. He is the guest of honor. He is who we're here to see. And the focus is no longer on Simon. The focus is on the Savior. And when you see the Savior, you see who's sacrificing. Missed it. When you focus on, stop focusing at the Simons. You want to see Jesus, get close to sacrificing people. If you ever want to see where Jesus is, look at the people who are sacrificing something. Don't look at the people who are watching others. Don't look at other spectators to see Jesus. Look at who is participating in worship. That's why you got to leave them quiet rows. When you're able to come back to church, stop sitting around quiet people. You want to get closer to the heat? Want to get closer to the fire? Get around some noisy folk who couldn't wait to give God glory, who can't wait to praise his name. You keep hanging around too many quiet people, you won't know what a sacrifice going on at. The focus stops being on Simon. People not looking at your pretty house anymore. Get in trouble, boy. They're not looking at your great adornments and your great furniture. They're not looking at how good your meal is cooked. They're looking at who's sacrificing. And who's sacrificing was somebody you didn't even invite. Because watch this. Nowhere in the text do we see Jesus rebuke the woman. Nowhere does he rebuke her for wiping his feet, for rubbing his feet. He don't rebuke her for that. Jesus is pleased with it. And it's the moment that Simon sees that, he gets mad. But here's what I love about Simon. Here's what I love about Simon. Simon said it to himself. Missed it. Simon ain't bad enough to say it to Jesus. And there are moments in worship You don't say it to the worshiper or to the God that we're worshiping, but you say it to yourself, she need to sit down. I wish he shut up. It don't take all that. And you can say that to yourself and be grinning. Hallelujah. Until you're in your, say it to yourself, sit your silly self down. You look like a fool up there. Hallelujah. He says it to himself. He's not bad, but you bad, Simon. You got a problem with Jesus. Say it to him. It's your house. Run your house, Simon. It's your house. Say it to him. But you got a problem with the sacrifice. So because he has a problem with the sacrifice, he starts talking about the one who's being sacrificed to. All this conversation he has within himself, he ain't paying attention to worship. He says it to himself. If he was a prophet like he's supposed to be, he would know that she ain't got no business touching him as much sin as she done committed. This woman comes admitting her sin. Yeah, I did it. Y'all know me. I got the red A on my shirt. Yeah, I did it. I'm a sinner. I still came. Missed it. I'm a sinner. Y'all know I'm a sinner. I still showed up. Y'all sinners and won't admit it, and you show up. What's the difference if we all here? Here's the problem. This woman has a problem. Her sin is of commission. Simon is a sin of omission. She tells it. He won't. He leaving out and don't even want to recognize his own sin. Because he's Simon. And I don't want to lose my power and my control and my position by admitting that I got sin in my life. And there are some church folk I'm talking to right now who don't want to admit that you got problems because you think people are going to put you at your position. And so you're living with sins of omission. We see her sin, we just can't see yours. But don't get it twisted, Simon, you got some sin too. You may not have done the same thing, but you done something. Watch this. Here's what Jesus wants for us. Stop looking at the amount of sin. You need to have an awareness of sin. I just preached something good right there, and y'all need to hear that. We keep focusing on the amount. I ain't done what she done. I ain't done as much as he done. And you just need to have an awareness of sin. Ooh, I done messed up. It's not y'all have sinned. It's all have sinned. But Simon wants to live like y'all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Instead of saying all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Watch this. Simon, you so caught up in yourself, you don't even have common courtesy. Isn't it bad? I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. I'm going to get in world trouble. How the best Christians have the worst manners. The best Christians in the world, they say, have the worst manners. Notice what this sister does. She wipes his feet with tears and then anoints his feet with the oil. In order for the tears to be utilized to wipe, must have meant that his feet had to have been dirty. In the East, it was custom that when a guest comes to your home, because of the streets were dirty and sandy, whether they were barefoot or with sandals, the common custom when a guest comes to your house is to wash their feet. As a sign of saying you're welcome here, Let me take the dirt, everything you've been off, you dealt with beforehand, let me take that off and you got some a fresh start in my house. And then you are to greet them with a kiss. This is custom. This is Eastern custom. Anytime a guest comes to your home, Simon let Jesus come in and ain't say nothing to him, ain't do nothing for him, and you don't open your mouth until somebody else do for him what you should have been doing for him. Because he doesn't even have manners. He's so powerful and such a great position, he don't have simple manners. Look how stuck up Christians done got. Good morning. Thank you. How you doing today? I'm sorry I stepped on your foot. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation. Can I have a moment with you? Thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate you. Christians now, you know what I meant. Touch not my anointing and do not my prophet no harm. No manners. I use my position to abuse you. And I use how I feel about you and put that in my position because I've been wanting to get you told. And so since now I'm in a position to get you told, I don't treat you out of my position. I treat you out of how I feel about you. Because I've been wanting to get you. Now I'm in a position where I can. And now I'm being mean to you, not because you done that to me, but because I can. I'm in a powerful position. And then I come shout at church and treat God's people any kind of way. Don't even say I'm sorry. No, I done cut you. Won't even apologize. No, I need to forgive. No, I need to let it go and won't do it because, well, I'm the preacher. I don't have to. I'm the deacon. I don't have to do that. I'm too anointed to do that. Some of the worst parents are the best Christians. Some of the worst wives and husbands are the best Christians. You're good at church, but you're bad at life. You honor your pastor, but can't honor your husband. Yeah. Don't have decent morals. No morals. And Simon is so caught up in being a Pharisee, he can't be a person. And this woman's basic manners exposes his lack thereof. Quiet now, ain't it? When's the last time you've been nice? I asked how many times, when the last time you made a demon flee? I asked you last time you spoke in tongues. I'm not asking you about the last time that you laid hands on somebody and God used you in a powerful way. When did you say thank you? When the last time you shook a hand or gave an elbow bump or whatever? When the last time you smiled at somebody with your deep, won't say amen self? Too deep to be nice. What happened to basic, common courtesy? You let Jesus come. You so full of yourself, Simon, that you done messed around and let Jesus come in your house, and you ain't even treated him like he's anybody special. And then you're mad that other people are treating him like he's special. And so Jesus says, I hear you. Now watch this. Simon ain't say nothing publicly. Jesus said, I heard you. Y'all missed it. Simon says to himself, if he's a prophet, why he let her come touch him knowing she's a sinner? Jesus turned to him. Simon, I got something with you. I heard you. Y'all missed it. I'm going to try one more time. Simon ain't say nothing to nobody publicly. He said it to himself, thinking it. If he all this, how he? Jesus said, I heard you. That's what's going to happen to some of y'all right now. Y'all think somebody done put you on blast. The Lord told you through this word today. I heard what you've been thinking. I heard them deeds you've been doing. I hear you've been selfish. I hear you've been stingy. I hear you won't sacrifice. Don't get mad at them. Talk to me. That's all Jesus said in these last few minutes. I heard you all the time. Ain't nobody told preacher nothing. Ain't nobody told him nothing. I sent him to tell you. I heard you. You think somebody got a book, got your house booked, they got your phone line booked. The Spirit knows Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is powerful enough. He hear you. You heard them backroom meetings? He heard them meetings before the meetings and the meetings after the meeting. He heard it. He says, I got some issue with you. And then Jesus do something that Simon sure don't want. He teach. The worst thing you want when you done messed up in the front of Jesus is a lecture. It hurt enough that he exposed you. Now you're mad because he want to teach you why you're wrong. I got to leave this alone, man. My soul done got happy. I got to leave this alone. You mad enough that he done exposed you. Ouch. But you don't want him to heal you with the word. He said a certain man had two people who owed him. Neither one of them. One owed 5, other one owed 50. Neither one of them could pay him back. Which one is more appreciative for being let off the hook? And Simon preached his own funeral. Well, I would say it's the one who owes more who'd be happier. You put the nail in your own coffin, Simon. Jesus says, thou hast well said, Simon. This sister has really, really sinned. Look what he says, this woman has sinned, and there are many. Man, I mean, even Jesus knew the woman's story. She sinned, and there are many. And she has done what you won't do. But watch this. While Jesus is talking to Simon and explaining some stuff, he looks at the woman and talks to Simon. He's no longer looking at Simon, but he's talking to Simon about the woman that you've been looking at. She came to see Jesus. Jesus is now focusing on her and talking to them concerning her. He's not talking to Simon about his house. Ain't talking to Simon about him. He's talking to Simon about. Ain't it tough when you want the thing to be about you and Jesus keeps taking the attention off you and all who really need it? You came to be the center of attention. You came for the pity party, and everybody laid hands on somebody else. I came on my sackcloth and ashes. I had my best sackcloth and ashes, and won't nobody even look at me. I got my arms folded up. Y'all won't even see me. I'm grunting. Y'all ain't looking at me. I came looking crazy, and y'all ain't paying me no attention. You start ignoring that. Jesus ignored Simon's selfishness. Let me clean this podium. He ignores his selfishness and still gives him a word while ignoring it. What a Jesus. And so this woman expects to see the Savior. She expresses a sacrificial sentiment, and in turn, she experiences something special. This uninvited guest destroys this whole party. And God is calling you to be an uninvited guest and stop letting people intimidate you out of what God has for you. Because Jesus says, her faith has made her whole, has made her saved. She's saved because of her faith. Watch this now. Because people got it mixed up. All this sacrificing didn't get her saved. Her faith in Jesus saved her. She didn't do all that to gain love. She loved, therefore she did that. Oh, man. Wait a minute. Because she loved him, she did that. She didn't do that to gain love. Why are you serving? So that he'll love you and people will celebrate you? Or are you doing it because you already know he saved you and you know how far you've come? It took a lot to get you from where you were to get into the house. And I'm not going to let people's dirty looks and opinions and their arms folded and they griping and they rumors and they gossip and stop me and make me leave the house. Because he didn't put her out. He didn't put her out. Knowing her past, he says she's saved. And now she's not doing this to be saved. She's doing it because she already is. It was not her works that saved her. It was her faith in Jesus that saved her. It was her faith to go beyond people, to go beyond her past, to go beyond her pride and press through and see Jesus. And when she got close to Jesus, she had her own experience that saved her life. What am I saying to you today? Get past what people want to say about you. Because none of us truly deserve it. Whether you're in the house, out of the house, we all are sinners saved by grace. Stop letting people put stuff on you that you don't have to wear. That's not your size. Stop letting people put sins on you that's not your size. Because they've been wearing it. Don't let people's sins of omission cause you not to have sins of commission. Because all of us need to confess and admit, I'm a sinner. And I'm working every day to sin less. But thank God for a Savior who came and died for all of us. Simon, you included. And then notice what happens. Notice what happens. I got to talk about this real quick and I'm done. That after Jesus says this to this woman, about this woman, go in peace. Don't stay in the house. I saved you. But you got to trust enough in your salvation to be able to live somewhere besides church. You got to learn how to be saved away from church too. Go in peace. Then people, once again, those who sitting around, because you know you ain't heard them say nothing. 36 through 50, you ain't heard them say nothing. It's too much going on, they can't handle. They just hoping nobody exposed them. That's why I got quiet in church today. Because you hoping no nobody expose you. You can be stupid if you want to and say something. I ain't saying nothing. But look what happens. They say within themselves, who is he that can forgive sin? There's always going to be some skeptics. And a harsh reality of the 21st century church is that Jesus can show up and save a life and it still not move other people. So I thank him today that he don't need a unanimous approval to still be Jesus. I thank him for that today. That I don't need you to agree with it for him to be done save me and change my life. You still will have naysayers even after Jesus showed up and changed this woman. But watch this though. Be free today knowing this. They said it to themselves. They still ain't bad enough, said to Jesus. And it ain't bad enough, said to her. It's something when you saved and God done changed your life, people are afraid to say to you because they see the Jesus in you and they can't deal with the Jesus in you, therefore they ain't gonna say nothing to you. That's why some people don't stop talking to you because you done been changed. And they don't know what might happen to them by messing with you. Only problem with that is, they're now got to deal with themselves and for the first time not deal with your sin. They got to deal with their own. But thank God for the uninvited guests that I have been at times and that you have been at times. Stop letting Simon Says cause you to miss out on what God has for you. Say amen for his word on today. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The uninvited guests. I want to pause now, and I want to invite you to a party, invite you to a celebration, invite you to a family of born-again believers. This is an extended invitation to all who are accepted, to the family of God. You may not know him as your personal Savior, and today you realize that even in your sin, he still wants you. Press through all the past, and press through what you know about yourself and what people know about you. And press and trust enough in Jesus that he'll save you in the midst of all your attackers, the gossips, the skeptics, People go talk regardless. You're not going to be able to hear every word said about you. You can't trace it, can't track it down. But what's more important is what the Lord says about you. Simon called her a sinner. But by the end of the text, Jesus called her saved. And what's more important, what Jesus says about you or what people say about you? Today is your opportunity, my brother and my sister, to come and join the family of God. You can come messed up. You can come tore up. He'll heal you. He'll bless it. He'll take care of it. He specializes in doing things that we can't do. Won't you come to him? Come be a part of this family of God. You know you may have joined church, but you never joined Christ. Because you were worried about laws and legalities and people pushing you out. Today, Jesus says, I want you. At your worst state, I want you. I came just for people like you who don't have a Savior. Won't you come? Won't you come to him? Perhaps you're saved and maybe you've become a Simon. Today you want to rededicate yourself. Rededicate yourself and realize that I have some sins of omission. Just because people don't know it don't mean I didn't do it. Some things I thought, things I've reasoned that are not pleasing unto God. And today I want to make sure I'm back in line with him to be saved, to be a part of the family of God. I'll make this invitation to you today. My brother and my sister. Won't you come?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from.
Won't you come?
Emmanuel's vein. And sin nurse plunge beneath the flood lose all the guilty stain lose all the guilty stain.
The blood makes the difference.
Lose all the guilty stain.
Yes, Lord.
And sinners plunge beneath the flood. Lose all the guilty stain.
Come on, sing one more time.
Lose all the guilty stain.
You did it, but the blood makes it seem like you didn't do it.
Lose all the guilty.
And sinners plunge beneath the blood.
And sinners plunge beneath the blues all the guilty stain.
Amen. We thank God for his word today. The uninvited guest. God has called you today. He's calling men, women, boys, and girls all across this land to come unto him, to come find that rest that you only find in Jesus Christ. You will not find that rest.
You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM. KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM. And K2